This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
Russell Dorsey, National MLB Insider for Yahoo Sports.
Teams are going to look at this roster and say, okay, you had a good month. Can you do it again? Right? How consistent can you actually be, Michael Bush? Can you be a 950 OPS guy for the rest of the season? And if he can, the Cubs have a really good player at first base.
Insider and analyst for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus.
Can I ask y'all something?
That's why you're here.
Why do we still do that? Do we gotta do that to guys anymore? We've jumped the shark on the whole, oh, Bron or Jordan.
Insider and analyst on MLB Network.
What's up, Russ?
Russell Dorsey on 670 The Score.
We love having Russ Dorsey in studio, and we are already giggling at what happened last week as we broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Marshall Harris is off today. Dan Wiederer is in, and I love when we can overlap sports discussion and overlap Tribune writers just a skosh. What do we figure out there time-wise, guys?
I was there freshly-ish out of college 2018. And then I left in 2019 to go to MLB.com.
Small overlap.
Yeah.
Small overlap. Okay. I'm glad we settled that because I met you when you were working for the Tribune.
Yes. I didn't know Dan. Dan didn't know me. I was a small fish in a big pond. I'm still a small fish.
I never came to the pond because I was always up in Lake Forest.
Right. Isn't that amazing that you can work at the same place?
Actually,
you
I
work
was at
with
the Tribune?
Other people more than you work with your 100%. Actual coworkers.
I was at the Tribune when they were in this building.
Yeah, this was a good office here.
It was really nice.
I honestly wish it still existed because you could get stuff done there. Like in the days I didn't want to work from home, you could just come in,
absolutely,
find a little spot and rock and roll. I don't even know if anything's in that space anymore. Is there?
I don't think so. I feel lucky because I worked at the Tribune when they were here, and then I was the last person because I was doing GA and Agate. And for everybody out there, it's very newspapery inside baseball. Agate is like when you put in the scores, you see the box scores in the paper and all that fill in the middle before you get to the stuff that Dan and back then Casey was writing in the paper, Callie's other paper. And so then I worked at the Tribune Tower, and I was the last person to walk out of there.
Oh, wow.
Are you serious? I have the video on my phone.
Wow. And it's like really cool.
It still makes me sad walking past that building and realizing it's just a place that people live.
It's condominiums now. That's wild.
There are some shops. There's like a place where you can get your ear pierced. There's Blue Bottle, which I refuse to go to because it's so expensive. There's a few places.
Russ, my thought was that if people were going to move in there, that they had to keep like the old stained raggedy carpet that had been there for like 98
tattered
years.
Tattered carpet.
Just for the history.
It's really cool to have worked at the, like I've been lucky enough to work at both papers in the city, to be in that building that had so much history and kind of work your way up in the business. Starting there was sick. Do I recommend that these days? No, because the business has changed so much. But it was like a really cool experience as a kid that grew up in the city.
No, that's the goal, right? If you're lucky, you start in Market 3. That was certainly not my case, and I grew up in Market 5, so I get it. Like, at what point, you said you were in Raleigh or outside of Raleigh, Dan, for 7 years. So at what point did you get a role with the Tribune where you start to move up?
I went from Raleigh to Minnesota. I was covering the Vikings in Minneapolis and then came here in 2013. So my first day on the Bears beat was the Monday of week one in 2013. So like you talk about like hitting the ground running, like Rich Campbell and I started on the same day, by the way. We're beat partners, started on the same day, did not know each other, and off we went.
How about that?
That is something. So then I picked it up in October of 2015.
Okay.
And that's when I got here. So I was reading you guys from the outside. And then Rich would be on Sports Talk Live a lot on NBC Sports Chicago. So that kind of puts it all together. Also, for the person who texted, did you ever address Dan's article? Did the Bears surround Caleb with enough? No, we've gone on too many tangents. So we're actually going to do that in the next segment for you, because I know Russ has Bears thoughts too. We spray to all fields on this show. Let's start with the team that is. Cubs offense just continues to do work. We talked about their success in opening games of the series a bit with Ian Happ, which is statistically interesting.
Yeah.
That they've won six straight series openers. I know you study randomness in baseball a lot, but I do feel like whatever they're doing as a hitting group with a plan, it is working.
They're prepared, right? Like you watch Cubs games from day to day, and you know, this is something that fans always talk about, is sometimes when guys aren't hitting, it's like they're going up there with no plan. Now, I've been in baseball long enough to know, look, guys have a plan. And baseball's really hard sometimes. But I think when it comes to what they're trying to do, how they're trying to attack pitchers on a day-to-day basis, they're going up there saying, all right, we're going to make pitchers work. They do that. They're one of the leaders in baseball in walks. They're getting on base at a crazy high clip. Yes, they're hitting the ball of the ballpark, but I think as a team, they've done a really good job of saying, this is what their message is to the hitters, and the hitters are taking that information and saying, got it, and doing that from game to game to game to game to game, despite the fact they played really good baseball teams. The San Francisco Giants are a really good baseball team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this just goes to what we've been talking about for the first month of the season, where you play that NL West, where they might have three playoff teams in that division, and the Cubs have played all of those teams in the first month plus of the season and had a lot of success. So from an offensive standpoint, I look at the Cubs as being a team that can sustain their offense and can sustain what we've been seeing, because it's not just about slug, right? Like, what's been the big complaint about Cubs offenses for the last couple of years, back when it was, you know, Bryant and Rizzo and Baez and Schwarber? Like, if it wasn't homers and that team went cold, they weren't hitting. Like,
right.
This team is not built that way.
No, it's a truly diversified lineup.
Yeah.
Which is what we're finally seeing. It's one thing to talk about it, but you're seeing it 1 through 9.
You're getting power production out of guys who aren't your prototypical power hitters, right. Which is really good, because the offensive profile is diversified, where it's like, hey, we're just going to death by 1,000 cuts you, and we're going to have 10 singles and then throw an extra base hit in there. Oh, we've scored 3 runs in an inning. I think that's a really good way to operate, because when you have one of those boom or bust offenses, it's fun when you're booming, but when you're not going well and those balls aren't flying out the yard, you know, now you're losing a lot of 3-1 games.
One of the guys they're getting power from is PCA. And I'm just curious what your outlook is on what he has done to start this season, coupled with the idea that the dude is just such a unique, dynamic, vibrant personality that seems to add, you know, exponential fun to the equation.
One of the best athletes in all of Major League Baseball. And I remember the day I was on the Cubs beat when they traded for PCA. And I had a executive say that this was the best prep player that he saw when PCA was drafted. And tools off the charts, and now you're seeing that translate. And for a guy that was a defense-first guy, had some injuries early in his minor league career, got through those, and you always knew the bat was going to be the last thing to develop. The athleticism was there, the speed was there, the defense was there. Like, when he came up, it's like, this is a Gold Glove caliber outfielder. You're seeing that, because by the metrics and the eye test, he's the best center fielder in all of Major League Baseball. And now you're seeing how, as he matures body-wise, as you know, he's maturing and seeing Major League pitching, the bat's coming around. I don't think the Cubs thought that he would develop into the type of offensive player that he's been right now.
Right.
And who knows if it stays at this level. But the fact that it's not just slapping the ball around.
No, it's like, in there, right?
There's like damage, yeah. Right? Like he's hitting the ball. Nine homers. He has more homers than some of the big boppers in Major League Baseball. And so that tells you about the type of player he is and why he said, you know what? I'm going to bet on myself and not sign an extension right now.
No, it makes sense. It's funny because Mark Grody was in for Marshall yesterday. And Grody and I had a bit of a conflicting discussion when it came to the approach that PCA has right now. I think the home runs are a result of timing because he's relaxed. He says, nah, he's swinging for stuff. Some of the balls in the low part of the strike zone, that would indicate that that's the case. But I feel like it's more for him right now that he feels like he's seeing that, and that's what he's going to try to make contact with. I want to know what you two think, too.
Dan, you want to go first?
You go for it.
I think when you have a young player, when you get to the big leagues, you don't know just how good guys are yet, right? And then you're seeing major league pitching, and it's like, yeah, this ain't AAA no more. Like, this is Iowa. And you have a full offseason where it's like, all right, I'm going to be the center fielder. Like, I know I'm going to be on the big league club. And talking to guys around the game, that takes so much pressure off when you're not working to try to make the team.
Yeah.
And then you can just lock in on being a better version of yourself from year one to year two. And I think with PCA, I think it's one of the things with confidence. Like, when you're feeling really good, you're like, oh, you can't get me out. And you know you can't get me out. And I'm feeling good about myself. I'm looking to do damage and jump the yard on you. And he's one of those types of players that's like, when he's going right, he feels really good and really confident. And that confidence comes out in those at-bats.
I felt like the confidence really broke through at the end of last year. And that was a significant stretch where he could see it. And to your point, like, this is a guy that when he's feeling good about himself, everyone in the stadium knows he's feeling good about himself. And I think there is like a multiplier effect to that, to having that vibe of like, you can just feel it. Like this guy's feeling it. I feel it. My teammates feel it. The opponent feels it.
And it's one of the things about being a crazy athlete in baseball where it's not just at the plate, right? Yeah. He can affect the game on the bases. As we saw last night, he can affect it defensively. So he could go 0-for with 3 punch outs and I can still swipe 2 bags.
Yeah.
I can still go and make a diving catch or catch this ball that nobody else in Major League Baseball can catch. That's one of the big advantages that you have as an electric player. And like you mentioned, everybody in the ballpark feels that. He's raising the roof when he gets on base, which is awesome. He wears hoop earrings, which is awesome in Major League Baseball. Like, you have a guy that is very swaggy, and you're looking for guys like that. Like, it's not just the same old type of dude.
Right.
And I think for a Cubs team that has been looking for, how do we get our next core? Who is the next guys that fans on the north side in Wrigleyville can wear their jersey? They're going to be selling a lot of PCA jerseys this year.
100%.
No, I feel like that's the case. I die laughing at the Nico and the PCA dabbing and raising the roof ironically. And I'm like, I know you guys are mocking your elders here, and I get it. But I need you to understand with which you are being ironic right now.
Dabbing in 2025 makes me laugh.
I mean, the whole, it's so dramatic. The way, have you seen it? Like, when Nico was like, and dab. Like, it's like the arm waits in it. I'm like, this is a 4-second move that you just busted out at second base.
I'm a big fan of the raising the roof because it seems like one of the moves that is, can go from generation to generation. Like, it doesn't necessarily get old. And when it's a cool guy doing it, you're like, you can do it.
You see his face, you know that is not, no, that is, he is mocking us.
And now you got fans doing it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he homers and everybody's raising the roof. He's rounding second base, bullpens get involved, guys. Like,
that's why,
like,
I'm talking about the fun factor of that whole thing, right?
And when, like, you're winning,
yes,
as Ozzie Guillen always says, fun is winning and winning is fun.
Truer words have never been spoken. As somebody who observes all of baseball, and this is a very biased question I'm asking you, who's got a more electric offense right now than the Cubs?
Nobody, to me. And I think the data pack backs that up too, right? Like, there's nothing, if you go to MLB.com or Baseball Reference and you go to the team statistics for batting and you go from average to on base to slug to run scored to stolen bases to walks, the Cubs are either number one, number two, or number three in all of those statistics. That tells you they're a really good baseball team, especially offensively. I think the big thing now for the Cubs is, now, as we get to the month of May and you start taking a knock to that depth, right? You lose a guy like a Justin Steele for the year. Now Shota Imanaga goes on the IL, and it seems like it's going to be a longer than 2-week IL stint, right? Now we get to Memorial Day without your two best starting pitchers. Where are the Cubs at, right? Like, are you relying on having to score 6 or 7 runs a game to win ball games? The benefit they have, they play the best teams in baseball already. And so now you still haven't played the Marlins and the Rockies and the teams that you can whoop up on, the White Sox. That's coming up here soon. And so that kind of softens the blow. But you're still going to need some of that depth that you have down there in the big leagues and down there at AAA to kind of come through, because the trade market just hasn't opened up yet.
So put the proper frame around the Shota injury, what it means short term, and how they find the survival troubleshooting here for the next month.
Yeah, like, it's not like a, oh, he's going down with Tommy John, now you've lost your two best starters for the year. Dan, this, it's great that you're here for a soft tissue injury. You know how hamstrings work, where it's like, hey, it could be 3 weeks, but they're tricky sometimes, and that could end up being a 6-week injury. Like, from what the Cubs are saying, they seem like it's going to be on the shorter end of the 3 to 6 week timeline.
You're talking to a guy who has like 6-year injuries than me.
So you go down.
Could be 3 weeks, could be 6 years. I don't know.
But I think for a team that has already started to go through some of that depth, and they've gotten really good production from their rotation. You know, Colin Ray has been really good for them. The big question is, when do they pull the trigger on Cade Horton,
right?
Their top pitching prospect, who's been tearing it up down there in AAA. And you know, I was at the ballpark yesterday when Jed Hoyer was like, hey, he's been pitching really well. And it's a guy that's coming off an injury, just didn't pitch a ton last year. So they want to make sure he gets innings. And, you know, it's a softer landing in the big leagues than it is at AAA. Like, you can make mistakes at AAA that you can't make in the big leagues. Like, mistakes become 3-run homers in leagues. So, yeah, I think that's the question now for the Cubs, is like, how do we sustain for the next 4 weeks without our best starting pitcher?
The question has been asked. As to whether or not it gets answered, well, we just have to wait for that. And a few more minutes, because Russ is going to join us for the next segment in studio, talk a little more baseball, and then also, I think, address an article Dan Weider just wrote, because you don't get to cook on Bears very often, and you do on Twitter.
No, just with my dad.
And we know that Twitter has gotten weird, so we will do it here next with Dan Weider. Got all that on the score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Tucker, it seems like he's willing to talk in season, so that is a great sign to get something done. I had a rival executive tell me they got to put the $500 million in front of them. They're not going to do that. That's not the Cubs, but it feels like Tucker, he seems to be willing to talk in season. He wants to be here, so let's get it done.
That was John Heyman on Yesterday with Mully and Haw. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. Dane Weir in for Marshall Harris. And Russ Dorsey joins us for his second segment in studio. That was a discussion that Dan and I had earlier today. Was talking about John Heyman saying, you guys should have the money for both. It's just a matter of whether or not that happens. Russ, I think one of the biggest things to think about here is the fact that the Cubs still have not given out a $200 million contract.
Yeah. That is wild, as the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
And I think the one thing that bothers people with the Cubs is that go to any game at Wrigley Field, day game, night game, and just walk around. Don't even go in the ballpark. Just walk around in a half-mile radius in any direction, and there's a lot of money being printed around there. And I think you look at a Cubs team that has now started to open their window. And I think 2020, 2021, 2022, and 23, you tear it down, you trade away the World Series championship core, you bring in these young guys, you try to replenish your farm system. Got it. Cool. If you wanted to say during that stretch of time, we're not going to have a top 10 payroll in baseball, we're not going to have a top 5 payroll in baseball, most sensible baseball fans and people would say, makes sense. But now that you have a team that can compete, and you've added members to your core, like you've locked in Ian Happ, you've locked in Nico Horner, you signed Dansby Swanson, you signed Seiya Suzuki, you signed Shota Imanaga, you developed Justin Steele into one of the best starters in the big leagues. What happens is you've built a core in a very short amount of time, and a lot of guys are still, whether it's cost-controlled because you signed them to extensions early, like Happ and Horner, you know, Dansby Swanson signs the big free agent, you know, contract, but it's still not the upper levels of payroll in Major League Baseball. Like, I think you have a space where you have guys that are pre-arbitration players where the salaries are cost controlled, and you have this window of time before guys start getting expensive when they get to year 4, 5, 6, and 7 before free agency, when they become arbitration eligible, where you could say, all right, we have this window of time where we got fortunate enough to land this top 10 player in the game in Kyle Tucker. We traded for a guy in Pete Carl Armstrong that is now developing into one of the bright young players in Major League Baseball. And it's not like we don't have money to spend. You can fit it in your payroll. Now, how you do that, that's a question for Jed and Carter Hawkins up there at, you know, Clark and Addison. But I think, yes, it would be hard for Tom Ricketts to look at the season that they've had and what they've been able to accomplish with a player like Kyle Tucker, who is one of those, right? You have a dude in the middle of your right. lineup for the first time in a long time. You'd be hard-pressed to let that guy walk out the door because you didn't want to spend it that level.
So help me understand why they put obstacles in their own way on something like this.
No, you're asking the right questions. You're asking the right questions. And I think one of the things, I know people like to kill Tom Ricketts, and the Cubs haven't spent. That's, like, true. Like, outside of Dansby and going to get Shota Imanaga and Seiya Suzuki, like, they haven't spent at the upper levels of Major League Baseball. Like, you know, teams like the Yankees, I don't know, everybody looks at the Dodgers being a different tier, but they haven't spent nearly at that top five level in a right. while. But from 2017 to, I believe, 2021, they did have between a top 10 and top 3 payroll in Major League Baseball. So when they've had teams that were competitive and going to the postseason, they did play in the deep end of the pool. I just think it's been so long since we've seen that.
people are like, well, it's been a while. I don't know if you really want to do that again, because it seems like you're kind of gun shy because of what it took to kind of turn that over.
Well, that's when we got the intelligent spending, so to speak. So that's, I feel like that's the era we're in right now. All right, we have to shift gears because we've been talking about this. Let's play a game.
I'm in.
Tell me if you've heard this before. True or false? Quarterback Caleb Williams has everything he needs to take off in his second season. This is building on the Dan and Sean Hammond article from the other day in the Tribune, but you're both here, so I say we talk about it.
I'm going to let the veteran reporter talk about it first.
All right. For me, Caleb has everything he needs for 2025 to be a legitimately fair test of who he is as an NFL quarterback. I think by the time we get to the end of the schedule, whether it's my mock schedule or the real one that they put out next week, we will know the direction of Caleb Williams' career. And by extension, we will know the direction of where the Bears are headed for the next 5 years or so. Since last season ended, you gave him one of the most proven play callers in the National Football League. You've refurbished the interior of the offensive line. You look around that weapon room and you go, okay, tight end, running back, receivers, there's plenty to work with here. Are there questions on the offensive line and tackle? Yes. Backfield? Yes. But Caleb Williams right now has everything to go into this year feeling like it's fair to take this test and get a grade that is representative of who you are.
Also, I just want you to know that we have had requests for your mock schedule on Twitch. There's Vegas has been submitted into the chat. And also the request for a warm weather game for fans to travel to. I don't know if you're taking requests on your mock
schedule.
Tune
in to Take the North later this week.
Okay, I need you to know that. People are into
plug
it.
Plug and tee.
I'm with Dan. Like you, but my question is, what's our expectation? Like, what is the level that we need to see Caleb at? Is it being a top 12 quarterback in the NFL? I would imagine most people would say that's what you want to see. And I think for me, it was less about, because last year, I think we were all drinking the Kool-Aid and saying, oh man, like this, you got Caleb in there and he's going to tear it up year one, break all the Bears records, which is not that hard, by the way. The bar is in hell. But you look at what they were able to do with the interior of the offensive line.
Yeah.
And as somebody who can for once take his reporter hat off and put the fan hat on, so many Sundays, I screamed at my television saying, give him some time. Now, I do think Caleb holds the ball a little long, but a lot of those sacks were because once he got the ball and looked up, now there's somebody in your lap. There's very little that you could do. I'm buying the Ben Johnson stock. Guys have to do what they're supposed to do, right? Like, you need guys to play well. I am concerned about, like, the tackle situation, but you've at least raised the floor significantly of the offensive line.
I think I'm not at the answer of true yet.
Okay.
I think that we have seen that there are too many weapons at times.
Okay, we got to the too many weapons part of the program.
But that's very rare. I felt like that last year.
Yeah.
And it showed.
Yeah.
Like, I know how Cole Kmet can produce. We've seen it. I know where the lack of targets was. I know where the lack of plays that they ran were. Is there enough ball for everybody? Because you have a quarterback right now, I think, is still learning how to distribute. And he has to have time to read his weapons to be able to do so. And until I feel confident about 1 through 5 on that line, and I don't, then I have to say no.
Are you at 1 through 4, though?
No. I love Jonah Jackson, okay, and I want him to work out well. I love the pick. I don't know him as a person, so I can't say I love him. But you still have enough questions where you're going to have something answered the first couple of weeks. You know, and can he do that? Sure. But we still have to ask some questions about that decision.
No doubt.
Does the fact that you know who the play caller is going to be for 17 weeks change anything in your mind? Because I do think that's significant.
Yeah, I mean, this guy has a bona fide resume.
Yeah, right. That's the thing.
He has and
it's proven.
That's it. That's people. We've got a lot of comments where they say, oh, it's Nagy 2.0. It is not. He was calling plays in his time the whole time at Detroit. We know that. And that's what makes it different for me. But all of the things have to happen for him, QB1, when he knows that he's got time to utilize who he's got on the field.
I think we'll be able to critique Caleb a lot more because it's not – you don't always have the conversation of – well, he's had bad play callers, and they weren't calling the best plays, and you know they were in his lap, and he got sacked 8 times. Like, now we're gonna be like, hey man, They did a lot of stuff for you. They got you the best available play caller on the market. They improved the offensive line. You got all the weapons. You have adequate running backs. Like, you should be able to do something here.
You should be able to do something. And it should be, you know, I think you asked earlier, like, what does it need to look like? I think consistency is the name of the game here. There can't be like, you know, you walk out of London and you hung 35 on the Jags, and then for the next 3 weeks, it doesn't look like you've ever played football before because things are going haywire around you and you can't get everything steady. So I think there needs to be a level of steadiness that we all feel week to week and be like, okay, kid's got it figured out. He's seeing it right. He's going, he knows where the ball is supposed to go, and he's in sync with his play caller. And that's the big test, I think, for Ben, is to get resynced up with a quarterback that's at a different stage than Jared Goff was when he linked up with him. There's still some teaching that needs to be done here for a second year guy, and you've got to be patient with that. And Ben is by nature an impatient guy who wants everything very detailed immediately. It's going to be a challenge. And every guy who steps into that head coaching role for the first time will tell you that first like 6 to 8 months is eye opening on how many things you're trying to tend to on a daily basis. And that's going to be the next test for Ben.
I think it's fair. I think while we still have some time to marinate on this, when you're asking what the expected level is for Caleb Williams, I don't think that the comp can be as simple as Jaden Daniels. And the fact that he did that in his rookie season.
Right.
And then we saw, for example, what happened to CJ Stroud in his second season. Did injuries play a big part in that? Yes, absolutely. But I wonder if similarly, one, things can happen like that for Jaden Daniels,
sure,
in season number two, where the NFL has an understood book on you, you know. But also, are we looking at things wrong when it comes to just saying here are the two best quarterbacks that have had the best rookie seasons in the past 3 years, and that being something to hang your hat on or at least compare to?
This position is all about consistency. I'll go back to that word, because there was no doubt a premature coronation of Jordan Love because of the helmet he wore, right? Like, he had a good stretch of 2 months a couple of years ago, and because he was wearing a Packers helmet, it's like, oh, they got the next one, and then they paid him like they got the next one, and he might just be a mid quarterback, like, yeah, a decent starter who makes a lot of mistakes that hurt your football team, and like, he's never going to ascend and clear that hurdle of being the guy that puts you in the playoffs over and over again and gives you a chance to win. And so, you know, you mentioned Stroud falls off a little bit. Jaden's going to face a different test in 25 than he did in 24. And now, like, you've got to figure out a way to be successful every drive of every game of every week of every month of every year for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize the difficulty of that at that position in that league.
I think one of the things with Caleb, like, there were in a season with so much chaos that you don't want your rookie quarterback to go through, like, there were building blocks where you're like, you know, some of those fourth quarter drives,
yeah,
you needed a big time throw, and you're seeing some of these throws like, geez, like,
fearless.
Yes. Like, hey, we got to make this throw. I'm going to make this throw to Keenan Allen. And I think one of the big things that I like to use in baseball that is transferable to football, especially for quarterbacks, is development isn't linear. And I think you look around the league, you look at what happened to CJ Stroud. Trevor Lawrence was this can't miss of a quarterback prospect, as we've seen. Now, you talk about the consistency.
Right.
He has not had that there in Jacksonville. But there's been a lot of things for Trevor Lawrence where it's like, yeah, he doesn't look like the guy that he was projected to be. And so it's not going to be perfect every year for these guys. But for a guy that was taken number one overall, you're expecting a lot more than mid, right?
Like, yeah,
I don't want to wake up a year from now and say, he's fine. Like, I want to be like, no, this is a really good quarterback.
I have said, and I said this yesterday, I'll say it again, I think there are more capable quarterbacks in the National Football League than there are good head coaches. And that's where the problem is that coach will affect you. You know, we talk about how much does a manager mean to a team. The negative war on a football head coach in the NFL is high and likely. You know, that's what you're working against as somebody who has talent playing for an NFL team. So when I look at it through that lens, the fact that they do have Ben Johnson gives you an exponentially better ceiling.
Russ, you talked about moments, right? Like, and I got goosebumps when you were saying it, because I put myself in the end of the Vikings game here at Soldier Field where they were coming back. They recovered the onside kick, and it was basically like, we've got one snap here to get in field goal range to send this game into overtime. And then Caleb makes that throw to DJ, and it was like, it was almost cartoonish the way DJ caught it and almost recoiled as the ball hit him. You were just like, oh man, that's a big boy throw in a big boy moment. Yeah. And like, he wanted the ball in his hand in that moment. And so there were a handful of those throughout the year. The other throw that I always bring up is in the Seattle game. It was a touchdown that was called back due to penalty, but it was, you know, rolling left back of the end zone. And you're like, there's four guys in the planet that can throw the ball with that velocity, with that accuracy to that part of the field. And you're just like, okay, so it's in there. Now get them some people to bring that out on a quarterly basis every game of the year.
I think most exciting moment of that game didn't actually exist.
The Seattle one?
it was definitely the fake
touchdown. What an ugly football game.
I think there was like a wheel route he threw to DeAndre Swift on a sideline where it dropped into the bucket, and you're like, whoo! If that's one of those, man, you have something special.
Right. And it's got to be special, right? Like, that's why you are drafted number one overall, is to be special. Yeah. And if you're fine, you're fine. You'll set all sorts of Bears records. Jay Cutler was fine in 500 for 8 years.
Right. Tell him I said. No, I'm just kidding. We have more to come. Do you want to stay for the next segment?
I got time before I got to head to the ballpark.
Are we going to do this discussion?
But you can also kick me out. Like, it's
No. The more people, the better. It's more fun this way. Are we going to do the discussion about, all right, the NBA on NBC is back. But so was a voice that we didn't expect, and the way we're getting it back is weird. That's next.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is the NBA on NBC. The 1998 NBA Finals. Tonight, it's Game 6, the Chicago Bulls versus the Utah Jazz.
So that was a real promo back in the day for NBC the NBA on NBC, which is back in the upcoming season. And we got this news from Andrew Marchand. This is Rahimi and Harris, Dan Weeder in for Marshall Harris, and Russ Dorsey joining us for this last segment. Andrew Marchand says this: Jim Fagan was the voice of the NBA on NBC's promos, as you just heard, during the 90s. He passed away in 2019. Using AI, he will be heard once again as the NBA on NBC returns next season. No. Nope, that's my take. I disagree with this. I think voices are for certain times. I know that Al Michaels has talked about doing this. No.
We're in so much trouble.
There are 7 billion people out there. You can find another image wars for the NBA
so
on NBC.
So much trouble.
I don't love that. To your point, Layla, we have a lot of great voices that are, with no disrespect, living. And I think the,
no disrespect.
No disrespect. Like,
alive.
Alive. And I think, for me, the respect factor where I want to know, and we don't have the information, if NBC got the permission from his family
right,
to do this.
Right.
Like, if you just did this, say, surprise! I look at them like, what the hell are
granddad?
You doing? Like, what is this? So I am praying they got permission to do this, because this is all types of wrong anyway. But if you didn't get permission from the person's family, that's messed up.
Do you guys remember how jarring hologram Harry Carey was? What was that? A couple years ago? Two, three years ago? And it was like, no.
Hologram Tupac? That
yes,
was thing.
That was mine. Yeah, the hologram Tupac was disturbing.
Yeah.
But the problem is, number one, I don't know that people care. And number two,
especially when you could have just had the real Tupac.
Now you're doing some radio, Dan. Now you're doing some radio.
Where do you think he is, Dan?
Here's my thing. You already have the Round Ball Rock song. That's really what people cared about. Why can't you just find the new voice?
Right.
Like, you have the nostalgia from the song is what everybody wanted. Now that you have that, like, you have all these new analysts and play-by-play people, like, just have a new voice.
That's my issue with this is it reminds me of the discussion that was surrounding the AI, I forget which outlet, that approached Scarlett Johansson about helping them build their model, and she said no, and then they pretty much decided to build one using her name and likeness, well, her likeness anyway, is that I don't like the concept of giving executives one less thing to think about because they love recreating everything.
Right.
And now they can just recreate this.
We're doomed. We're so doomed.
I think AI can help for a lot of things. I just don't know if this was one of them.
It's okay to find a new voice. A real one.
A lot of great voices in sports.
We have many even here in our hallways. But yeah, even our image voice, I think, would be fabulous for the NBA on NBC. Rick Pardee does a great job.
Well, one of the problems is what we're going to get to is when you start working for places, it's like, well, you agreed for us to use your name and image and likeness.
Right.
We kind of have permission to do this.
We can do anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, even when you're long gone, it's like, well, during that time, you did work here.
Yeah, and we just made a commercial with you.
Being collectively bargained by certain unions, but then if you're not in one, or if there are different stipulations for your organizations, yeah, that's an issue.
All it's going to take is somebody getting sued one time and losing for them to stop doing this.
I will say that Andrew Marchand did report that this was with the family's permission.
Okay.
So there's
I can't say anything.
They're in.
All right. There you go.
So they gave permission. I still think you can find another voice. This isn't 1998.
While I don't disagree, the fact that now I know they had the permission, at least my concerns from a human standpoint have been relieved. Because I was going to be like, ah, that's nasty.
Over man. Under. What year do we get the first all AI sports talk radio show?
Sheesh.
The year that somebody on the text line creates it.
That's about 2026?
Well, I think we had it a couple of years ago when this moment happened.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
So that was the only AI that happened here on the station.
So when we were cooking up ideas before we got you on the group thread, Dan, we were laughing about the Dan Weeder, Brad Biggs's, the parody opening that you have on the afternoon show.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, we got to talk to Dan about the Met Gala. So then it was like, Dan Weeder talks Met Gala with you.
First time I've ever talked Met Gala was today.
Yeah, you got any Met Gala thoughts, Russ?
I did not watch last night. One day I would love to go. That'd be really cool.
I feel like fashion. I feel like that would be in your area of in your wheelhouse of things.
I'm not famous though.
You know people.
You got to be famous to go to those things.
It was sports this year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sports icons that go and they do really well with the fashion too.
Do you think Jordan would have ever set the Met Gala out with an injury? Tying it all back to the start.
That's a great question. Do I think MJ would have gone to the Met Gala?
No, you think you would have sat it out due to injury?
Depends. Is somebody else from the NBA there? Because he'd be like, no, because they're going to gain a competitive advantage.
He took it personally?
Yeah.
See how we're back to LeBron and Jordan.
Yeah, is Reggie Miller there? I'm not going.
Well, I have a layup question for Russ. If you went to the Met Gala, sleeves on or off?
Ooh, what's the theme?
So, like, the theme this year was, like, suiting and tailoring.
I'd go sleeves on, but you tailor the sleeves so that they're snug, so people know that you're putting in work. But if there was a theme that went with sleeves off, I'd 100% go no sleeves.
The official title was, and I didn't want to do it an injustice, super fine tailoring black style. Does that help you?
Black style, mm-hmm. as in, like, black the color or like black people
culture?
I don't know about feel about that,
but I don't know, that's what they said it was.
I don't know if I love that.
The theme focuses on exploring the history and influence of black dandyism in Western culture and how fashion has been used as a tool.
I have tons of thoughts on that now that I know what that
see
what
now
it
we
was.
Know, yeah
okay there was a couple years ago when the theme was like they called it camp
yeah that and was the I, one that we all thought
and
about.
I thought it was like actual camping like I'm thinking bucket hats and camo and then it's like no that's not what that's not the version of camp that they mean.
No, it was definitely campy.
You learn something new every day,
but I don't know how to dress for that.
What is the definition of that? Like, what does it actually mean, camp?
Yeah, that was the...
I'm asking you something as we probably need to go to break, but...
The definition, I think it's like...
Somebody hit me up, at Russ_Dorsey1. Tell me what camp means.
Matching t-shirts so that the counselors can find you at the pool.
There you go.
It said the campiest looks. I think it means like the most themey.
Okay.
Like, camp is an aesthetic way of dressing that mocks what is deemed attractive by society or by a subculture of people.
Interesting.
That's according to the Google machine.
Okay. Now we know.
I don't know what to do anymore. I just wore black pants today. I was happy about it. We have the afternoon show. Lawrence Holmes, Matt Spiegel next on The Score.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.